Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs a World Series champion. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars, infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mullion Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to one of God's great men. He's Ron Coomer, and he joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mikey, David, Dust. How are you boys doing today?
Doing all right.
We're living the dream, for God's sake, and the convention gets going tonight. How pumped up are you for this? Should be a lot of fun.
It's fun. It's always fun. It's kind of my kickoff to baseball season for me. You know, the holidays get over, and then you know it's convention time, and then you know it's like, you know, last night we had some functions with the Cubs last night, and went to RPM Steak, one of Rich Melman's great spots there in town, and had dinner. And Sammy was there. We had Jed Carter, and obviously Tom Ricketts and Crane were there, and it was very nice night, and you know, did a little jersey reveal, so it kind of kicked off for some of us yesterday, and it's going to be a fun weekend. It was nice to see Sammy too yesterday, so you know, big welcome back to Sammy. Yeah.
So, Coom, what was your interaction like with Sammy Sosa, and what was his interaction like with the people in the Cubs organization? Because, as you well know, it's been a while.
It's been a while, but it was very good. And Sammy and I, you know, he had a guy that was with him, Julian, who, you know, was one of the hitting guys that we had at that time, and him and I were very friendly. So we all talked. We had a great, you know, first of all, it's a big hug, and I'm happy for Sammy. I just, you know, David, when you start putting all this aside of all the past, at the end of the day, when you're a baseball player and you're not around the game for a long time and that's been your whole life, that would be difficult. I tried to think about that last night, and I just thought, my gosh, I don't know what I would do if I was not around our game on a regular basis. And, you know, and he hasn't been. So I'm happy for him to be back in the fold of Cubs baseball. And it's great that Tom and Crane, you know, kind of, you know, open that up and bringing him back. So I'm assuming it'll be good, but he was very good. We had big hugs and talking hitting and talking about being in a cage with Jeff Petlin and laughing about Sterzy and I hitting balls all over the dang place and making him pick them up. You know, and just joking around. It was just funny. It was good. It was very lighthearted, very good, and, you know, a lot of big hugs, and so I was happy for him.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that much, Ron, the fact that he was sort of outside the game, and that had to hurt. And it just seems like it took one sentence to change everything, right? It just makes you wonder why would that not have been sufficient earlier? Or, you know, it's just crazy that it's that things can work out that simply.
Yeah, Mike, I don't know. When it comes to that whole scenario, first of all, I wasn't here when he left. You know, I was in L.A. And so I'm really I don't know what happened. Obviously, it wasn't good. That's for sure. But I think as time goes on, if you start, we're getting older. You're like, yeah, is it that bad? Do you remember? You know, it's just to me, this weekend's about turning the page and being, you know, it's like, hey, he said, he apologized. He said what he said. Tom has invited him back into his organization. So did Crane Kenny. And, you know, between Tom Ricketts and Crane, I think they did a nice job. And I really am. I saw very, very happy Sammy Sosa. And I mean this, when you're around something all of your life, you mean you give everything you got to this game and then it's gone and you're kind of, you know, ostracized from the game, so to speak. Mm. That would be very difficult. I would have a hard time with that. I really would.
So, Coom, the convention is beginning today. It's going to be a lot of fun over 3 days at the Sheraton. I understand you're part of a couple panels, how to play third base at Wrigley and why I love analytics. Which one is going to be better? Just kidding. What are you going to be doing? Who are you interviewing this year?
I am. I'm going to be doing some panels. I know that. I know tonight's going to be fun with the opening ceremonies. It always is. I get some family time, too, with my sister and my niece and my nephews and his girl. And so that'll be fun. But tomorrow, I think I'm doing a hitting panel, and I know Ian is involved. I'm not sure about Sammy, whether he's involved in that or not. It'd be very interesting to have Sammy on a hitting panel. Because as I've told you guys in the past, there's nobody I played with that swung the bat better than Sammy. I mean, that was absolutely incredible what he could do. And Jeff Cutlin was a big reason for that, our old hitting coach in 01. So we'll talk hitting. I know Ian's a part of it. I haven't gotten over there yet to the hotel to get my packet of what I'm doing on Saturday. So, but I know from talking last night, the hitting panel is going to be mine, and then I'll probably do another thing, and then at least one more. I love the hitting talks because it's the current hitting, as you brought up the analytics and thinking about hitting in one way, and then 25 years ago and earlier, the thought of how you hit in the middle of a lineup then. Very different, but all good.
Explain that a little bit, Ron. I mean, you're looking for different things. You were looking for home runs before as opposed to or RBI mattered before as opposed to just getting on base, that sort of thing?
I remember this conversation years ago.
Uh-huh.
The first real guy that I can recall that was a bopper that thought about his on-base percentage, I think, was one of your Southside guys, a guy I played against many years, Frank Thomas. Frank was an on-base percentage guy. I mean, obviously he was MVP and a bopper and all those things, but he was concerned about his on-base. I remember Pudge talking about hitting in the middle of the lineup in a different conversation, not talking on Frank, but because if you're hitting in the middle of the lineup, sometimes it's important for you to be swing first because that's going to help the team. You taking a walk might not be beneficial to the ball club because you're the guy. You're the guy that's expected to drive in the runs. In the current game, that was then, and years ago. In the current game, I don't necessarily think that's always talked about. I think it's more the opposite. I think guys are more inclined to take the walk and, you know, move the line along. So there's a big difference in some of the thought processes of the game today as opposed to years ago. So and which one's right or wrong, I don't know.
The big news yesterday, the Cubs avoid arbitration with Kyle Tucker and agree to a $16.5 million deal for 2025. Just curious why you think that happened the way it did and if it at all would be a factor when they do negotiate or talk to Kyle Tucker about a long-term deal at some point?
Well, I was shocked because that number is over the halfway point of the arbitration, right? If I remember correctly, between the two numbers that were submitted, it's I think it's $500,000 to the Tucker side, goes to the Cubs. So for it to take longer, usually that splits in half, David. I'd say 95% of the time it splits, and you split down the middle and off you go, and that's you avoid arbitration, and that's just kind of what happens, unless one number is really out of whack. So I'll say this: I'm really glad for the Cubs and for Tucker that this thing got resolved. The last thing you want is to bring a new guy into the fold and have some, just a negative taste in his mouth going into the season because a simple arbitration case didn't work out. The guy hasn't even put on Cubs uniform yet. So I thought it was important that gets done. I think some guys, it's a big deal, this arbitration thing and what happens, and other guys blow it off like no big deal. You would hate for it to be the first one, right? And then you have that held against you in contract negotiations after this guy hits 30 bombs and drives in 100 for the Cubs,
Yeah, I think he's set for a huge year because this is a contract year, and I think we're going to see the best of the guy. And, it kind of starts today just with him being welcomed to Chicago by the fans, and I'm sure the circus atmosphere this summer is going to appeal to him, and we'll see. But I think he could have a monster season.
I agree. We already know there's a couple factors that I think it's important to understand. When you sign a guy like him who's already been in the World Series, who's already played in big stages, people talk around the league. Guys talk around the league about playing for the Cubs in Wrigley Field. The Yankees are another one. The Dodgers are another one. There's some franchises that have some cachet. Boston, they have some cachet about playing in that ballpark, right? You talk about the park. You talk about the fans. You talk about, the electricity in the park when you're playing there. He's played in big moments, so that makes him shine. And being in Wrigley Field in front of, 35 to 40,000 night after night in that setting, I really do. I agree with you, Mike. I think it's going to bring the best out of Tucker, and you're going to see the very best of him. And that's just great for the Cubs.
So, Coom, Bruce reported this week that Alex Bregman, who is still on the market, might be amenable to a shorter-term deal with the right team, including some opt-outs. The Cubs are right now penciling in, Matt Shaw at third base. Does Alex Bregman make a lot of sense for you in terms of the Cubs pursuing him?
I think Bregman, to me, makes sense for any ball club that needs either a third baseman or a second baseman. He's a great player. He can hit. He hits for power. He knows how to hit ball the other way and take what the defense gives him. He's just a really good player. So if you can get him and it fits in your budget, I'm all for it. He's a good defender. He's a base runner. He does a lot of things, David, to make your team a lot better. And he's played in big moments and had big hit. I mean, he just checks all the boxes. So I'm an absolute yes. If that fits and you can bring him in, that's a huge win for the Cubs if that happens. I really believe so. And that's nothing against Shaw or anybody else. At the end of the day, you want to stockpile the best players you can.
Right.
He fits that mold, right?
Well, we just had a chat with Shaw. It was interesting to talk to. He's a 23-year-old kid. He's so young.
Right.
It's just extraordinary how quickly he has arrived. I'm curious, have you seen much of him at third base? It's a different position for him. He did great with the U.S. team. We know he's got a good bat. What have you seen of him? And should he attend that fictional third base at Wrigley thing that David Hedger hosting?
He can always attend. I'll say that. Yeah. I don't have a rack of gold gloves like some of my other friends at third base, but I did play the position for a long time. I saw a guy in spring training this year who was still trying to figure out the position. Positioning, on the field, I saw a guy that had some issues because he was a middle infielder guy. When to crash on a ball and charge, when to lay back. And that's all common for a guy trying to move to the corner position, particular third base. Now, he's got good hands. He does. He's got good baseball instinct, good movements. And then I talked throughout the year to some of the scouts that were watching this USA team and watching some of the stuff that was going on. And they said he was making huge strides going forward. And these are guys that I've known for a very long time. So I absolutely trust their scouting abilities, and they've been scouting a long time. So that was really good to hear. And I can tell you, just from watching him take batting practice and hit in spring and watching some film on him hitting, kid can hit. You know, he can just hit. He's going to hit no matter where he goes. He's going to be a hitter. And he's got the ability to hit in the big leagues for sure.
So, Coom, the Cubs roster still incomplete. I think the Bregman possibility is enticing. But you look at that bullpen, and they may have a guy that they envision being the guy at the end of the game as a closer, or they might have the committee approach. I still think they need to go out and spend some money on a closer. Tanner Scott had 22 saves. Maybe it's him. Don't the Cubs need to maybe, even if they in the past have been reluctant to do that, consider doing that?
I if you're asking just me, I would say yes. I know there are different thoughts. I know counts sometimes varies on some of that. I believe in my looking at the game, when you have a dominant closer or a guy that you go to in the ninth and he's your guy and he's quality, then you have an eighth inning guy that emerges that ends up doing well. And that's what Council had in Milwaukee. Boy, it really shortens the game. So that fourth and fifth starter that, you know, is like more of an 80 pitch guy, not a 100 pitch guy. And you go, boy, that fourth, with two outs, I have a tendency to want to pull him, or the fifth inning, it could be a short inning for him. It gives you that flexibility because you shorten the game on some of these other days, you know, and it just makes the game easier to play for the entire bullpen when you have a closer and you have a setup guy. But the closer to me is more important for the simple fact that when you lose games, and we saw this last year with all the games that we lost in the ninth, the deflating feel of being ahead in the ninth and going to the clubhouse 10 minutes later with a loss, that just stinks, man. I'm telling you, you talk about something that can ruin your dinner and just silence the clubhouse in a hurry. It's just, you know, those are tough to take. And when you start piling those up, man, they're tough to get over.
All right, so I want to talk baseball, but since we have you here and it's the playoff weekend, the divisional round, do you have any picks for us, Ron, and who should the Bears hire as a coach?
Wow. Jeez, my Ron Rivera thing from 3 weeks ago when we talked, that didn't get much legs. I don't know if Ron's in the fold.
I got an interview, but didn't go very far.
Yeah, I didn't hear you guys talking about him much. So I was like, yeah, that's out. So Mr. Caskey didn't listen to me there. There's a couple of assistants. What's the one guy that's on everybody's list? The one assistant that
Ben Johnson, everyone, from Detroit.
Ben Johnson. Yeah. Everybody's talking about him, right? He's like the top guy that, you know, I'm reading the Raider. Everybody's looking at him. Boy, if everybody's looking at him, I don't know if that fits for the Bears, but. You know, somebody's got to have – to me, if you have a guy that can help the quarterback and make sure that, you know, you don't have a third hiccup at that position. Because without that, you know, you just can't win in that league. That's just too important a position.
So, go ahead, finish.
No, please, no, go.
You sit
I got
next...
nothing for you. I'm scrambling, bro.
That's okay. I'm trying to help you out there. So you sit next to a legend, the Illinois Sportscaster of the Year, Pat Hughes, and baseball lost a legend on Thursday.
Yeah.
Bob Uecker passed away at the age of 90. Just wonder, over the years, whether it was with the Twins or during your playing career or as a broadcaster, that you probably encounter him a lot. What was your relationship like, and what are your favorite memories of you?
A lot of them. David, I became friendly with Uke when I was playing for the Minnesota Twins because the Twins had signed Paul Molitor, who was a longtime Brewer, and Paulie and I were really close. So because of that, I got to know Bob. And Uke was just one of those people, man, that when he was in the room, it was going to be funny. And you were going to laugh. You were going to have a good time. And he was just a great guy. I thought Len Casper did a great job yesterday talking about him in one of the articles I was reading and talking and kind of capsulizing you. And just he had time for everybody, just a great guy. I'll tell a really quick story. The last time I saw Kirby Puckett alive, we were at a Harmon Killebrew golf tournament in Scottsdale, and Uke was playing in the tournament. We get done playing. We have a little VIP room for all the ex-players, baseball, basketball, football guys that were playing in the tournament for Harmon. Uke walks into this area, and we're all having some cocktails, and he starts into this act, and he has Kirby Puckett sitting next to me on a bar stool laughing so hard, Puck falls off his bar stool, not drunk now, just falls off his bar stool laughing in hysterics, begging Uke to stop. Begging him, Uke, please stop. He has the whole group of us. Now, you're talking about old Boston Celtics from the 60s and 70s. Everybody's crying laughing. And Uke has this straight face, just keeps talking away, and he had all of us just dying. And that is like, you know, the more people you put around Uke and the more high profile they were, the funnier he was. And you're just like, this guy's unbelievable. But he had time for everybody, and he'll be really missed. It won't be the same going to Milwaukee without him.
Great stuff. Really appreciate your time, Ron. Great catching up with you.
See you out there this weekend. Boys,
absolutely. Have a great weekend, guys. And hopefully we get it right for football. And I think we're on the right path for Cubs baseball. That's for sure.
All righty. That's all that matters. Thank you so much. That's Ron Coomer. What a great man.
Good stuff. Good talking to Coom.
You know, I don't know how I forgot this, but Bob Uecker was on, I think the TV series was called Mr. Belvedere. Like, that guy was a broadcaster. He was a player, but he was funny enough to be on a sitcom.
One of Johnny Carson's favorite guests.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. He had just a natural sense of humor.
Yeah. Really.
Gift of gab and all of those things that just came very, very naturally. So good to talk with Coom. When we come back, I want to mention to you something Roger Goodell said this morning that I think will get the attention of some football fans out there.
All righty. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. there's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's the voice of Roger Goodell.
Yeah, that was Roger Goodell saying, wow, after looking at how much money the league could make after adding a game to the schedule.
Well, I don't think that's where
it wasn't from.
I'm sure he has had that reaction.
But yeah, paying off the tease. Roger Goodell on Bloomberg TV basically opened the door a little bit wider. We've been heading this direction all along. We know that. But an 18-game season seems imminent. This is what he said. We would keep within that 20-game framework. We went to 16-4, meaning 16 regular seasons, yes. 4 preseason. We went to 16-4 and now 17-3. So 18-2 is a logical step.
I mean, listen, God bless him. You know, Roger has made a ton of money for his bosses in the NFL. And he's, it ain't me. I'm not a senator's son. But I do think Roger is, and he's done a great job of kind of carrying water for the owners and making sure that they continue to make big money. There is no connection between a 20-game. Let me tell you something. Preseason games, there are players that barely play. Regular season games, everyone has to play. Four preseason games is not equal to one, let alone
you're disputing the weighing evenly of the preseason and regular season.
Total bull.
Yeah, they are totally different.
And it's absurd to connect them. And now what you're talking about, and I'll be honest with you.
You know what isn't comparable with those? TV ratings.
Oh, no. You're going to get TV ratings. I mean, listen, you'll get more television.
Right.
You'll get more. They got more Amazon games, and you know, there's games on Peacock, and there's games. They had Netflix throwing up some games. Listen, they're going to get as much broadcast rights as humanly possible. They're going to get as much money as they can possibly get. That's never going to go away. The problem is that 18 games, probably too many on the human body.
I'm not disagreeing with that,
yeah.
But I'm telling you that he and they, the league, and their people, will double down on this. Goodell also says the 17-game season has not increased the number of injuries thanks to improved training and rules changes.
Well, they're going to have to go to touch football rule changes. They're going to have to ban tackling even more than they have.
Some by secondaries already have.
Bad tackling, yes. Listen, I know. I do not agree that there is not an impact on these games. The experience of being in an NFL game has been compared to surviving a car accident every Sunday.
It doesn't pass the smell test.
Adding more car accidents.
It doesn't. It's not conceivable that the numbers show that 17 games hasn't increased the number of injuries. I just think that.
Yeah, I don't agree.
18 games increases the danger.
Yes.
And to players' health, long term and short term. But it's coming. And I think that's the biggest takeaway is that, you know, whenever Roger Goodell appears anywhere, there are talking points. There are specific things that you know he's going to get to.
He's floating the idea.
And this is a floated idea on Bloomberg TV on a Friday morning before a huge playoff weekend.
Yeah.
You got the eyeballs, you got the interest. Hey, let's remind people. 18-2 is the way where they're headed. You'll hear it again at the Super Bowl. And
was it Mike Florio that talked about the idea of going to 40 teams? There are 32 teams in the NFL, and you could just create 8 more by basically putting them in medium-sized cities that don't have big stadiums, but just have enough of a television studio-looking stadium that you can sell more games to more places
because it'll be on TV,
in more money.
Yeah,
that's what this is all about.
I don't know if you could have 40 teams. I don't know if you could assemble 40 offensive lines.
No, I mean you can't.
Or find 40 quarterbacks.
You can barely assemble 30.
Yeah, it's tough right now. They've maxed out. I don't like expansion.
I'm just telling
the NFL.
What
I know
he wrote, and I think
it could be. It's taking this to an extreme. It's conceptualizing things that are related to the idea that we are a nation addicted to football.
And that's true.
And
we
it
are.
Is true. I just think there's going to be a tipping point, and I don't we're near it, and I just don't know if 18-2.
When you say the tipping point, you mean with the games themselves or with
interest?
The interest is still strong.
Interest? Oh no, I know the interest is strong, but at some point you dilute that interest by having too much of the product, and I don't like the idea of going Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, I you know, leave some nights alone. I don't think that.
Spoken from a Mac guy.
Yeah, well, I know. But the Mac has done, in all seriousness, to try to get eyeballs and take advantage of the nation's interest in the sport. The NFL has done it because they see opportunities to make some money.
It's avarice, man. It is that's what this is. It's pure, unadulterated greed.
It's greed.
That's all it is.
Greed.
And I mean, to say something as flippant as, well, it's not creating more injuries because we've changed some of the rules and there's no kick. You know, you're not helping. You're not promoting the player. You're not advancing careers. Hey, there's more money because they're making more money. But I don't know if your career is being shortened by the number of hits you take in an 18-game season.
I think the numbers he'll offer will be greeted with skeptical eyes. Because I think it's worthy of skepticism. I think it's inconceivable how you could have more games and fewer injuries just because you have better trainers. It doesn't make sense.
That's not.
Another thing I wanted to get to, because it dropped this morning, and it's a very well done and interesting story with some local implications and references. Kaylin Kaler, who went from The Athletic to ESPN.com, she's been on the Midday Show several times. I've worked with her on television, and she's really good, Northwestern graduate, and really thorough reporter and great writer. There's a story on ESPN.com you want to check out because it deals with the agent's role in coaches getting hired. Mm. And it details, specifically takes a deeper dive into the Bears operation and what goes on with Trace Armstrong and how influential he has been, not only with the Eberflus-Poles connection, which she details and revisits the day that they were hired and all those things, but also just in general, Luke Getsy and other connections and how Trace Armstrong has had as much impact as one agent on a franchise as there has been throughout the league, and how other agents and other people around the league have noticed that and find it peculiar. And they raise questions about that. You have other examples with maybe Cleveland has one agent that has been, I think Jimmy Sexton. But it's bizarre that Trace has had such a say. We kind of flippantly have referred to him as the assistant general manager or assistant team president, whatever. But he has been involved with a lot of guys. And Ron Rivera is quoted in there and saying that, when he would talk to Trace Armstrong when he was in coaching, it always seemed like he had a lot of guys on who he was representing, a lot of guys he wanted to hire.
Yeah.
And so it's just a fascinating look at number one, that dynamic, and secondly, how reluctant these agents were to speak with her. That they didn't want to reveal the process. They didn't want to acknowledge the reality because you don't want people to know all that
stuff.
That's
all fine and well, but I don't think it's breaking news that Trace has a huge impact on Bears, right? I mean, the thing is, he did play here, and he's kept in touch with management. He's been in the business. And we've talked regularly about his influence on the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty thorough, though. It's a pretty thorough look.
Good.
I know it's not breaking news, but it's pretty well-documented news. And even though we talk about it, it's a little bit more – it feels like there's some depth here. And it's pretty well done. So it's something.
Have you
to keep
dealt with Jimmy Sexton much?
Yeah. Oh, back in the day, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be difficult. Some of these guys are impossible to reach.
Yeah.
Or they have people who are close to them, and you want to deal with that.
Right.
So it, it's pretty good. I recommend that on ESPN.com. And then the rest of the weekend, there's going to be a lot of stuff tonight. Tonight is the Cub convention at the Sheraton. Sammy Sosa will be introduced. It was cool to hear Coom talk about Sammy missing the game and interacting with the Cub brass.
That's pretty cool.
Last night, and Coom was kind of being the maitre d', you know, kind of taking care of every little detail, sounds like, and life of the party. So tonight will be fun, and we'll hear from Jed Hoyer at some point this weekend as well.
That is, when, you know, when the whole Pete Rose thing went down, you think about why people don't just kind of come around. You know, I mean, it just, it's crazy that you haven't acknowledged or you've denied things that all it did was keep you separate and beyond what you were most, what you love most in your life, right? So there's an element of that with Sammy. We certainly saw that with Pete Rose. It's just there are some people that for whatever reason, their pride prevents them from reconnecting. I think that'd be a good, I would love to know how much Sammy missed the game and how much he regretted not do. And like I said, maybe earlier on there would have been a different requisite for him to be welcomed back in as opposed to the way it was now. But I just think that ultimately it damages the guy as much as anybody else.
Definitely. It's a good question to ask him when I interview him tonight. And you can hear that on the score tomorrow, 10:40 inside the clubhouse. The Sammy Sosa interview with Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey, and me will be at the Cub convention. And it'll be a lot of fun. We're going to talk to Tom Ricketts. We're going to talk to Craig Kenny.
Are you going to ask Tom why he didn't sell his yachts?
That was Dustin saying. No, but I will ask him. I will ask him about this offseason. It's an off season that. There's some understandable angst.
I think everyone wants to know, like, are you eventually going to cough, and when will that happen? Is it before?
Are the Cubs in cost cutting mode?
Well, that's a really good question.
I just want to know
because where is their payroll at right now, and where is it going to be by the opening part of the season? Surely they're not done, right? Surely their completed team will not be the one that is introduced at the Cubs convention tonight.
I would hope not. Yeah. I would hope not. I would hope that they're still in on Bregman. I would hope that they're, you know, kicking the tires on Tanner Scott. Who knows if Pete Alonso makes sense?
Pete Alonso apparently not going back to New York.
Well, if he's not going back to New York, what's wrong with Chicago? What's wrong with the Cubs? Does it give you roster flexibility? You know, that's all well and good. You give me a guy that can hit 45 home runs, and I'll tell you what I think about roster flexibility.
Well, I mean this sincerely. Like I think that the conclusion, now that we have a price tag for Kyle Tucker, $16.5 million. So how much was Bellinger scheduled to make? So
you're 28,
subtract
30?
One from the other. Where's that money going? Right?
There's Isn't more it? Money. The payroll reduction from last year this time to this year,
and hey, they got time, and I'm gonna try to be faithful to what I said. I'm not gonna pass any judgment on whether they're trying to save money or not until I see what the payroll looks like at the start of the season. Right.
I think that's fair enough.
Quickly thereafter.
So before we break, too, we need to wish somebody a happy birthday today.
Oh, who's that?
It's Friday, January 17th. Happy birthday to Chad Feldman.
Oh, really?
Director of sales.
Okay. Yeah, I
Washington, D.C. sports fan extraordinaire.
Sure. I saw him in the hallway yesterday.
He was probably dancing last night after Ovechkin scored again and came closer to Gretzky. Broke another record, and Ovi's back, and that makes
him and you and Putin. Those are the only people who dance to that.
Not me. Chad. Chad's happy, and he's also probably very excited about the Commanders weekend in Detroit. But happy birthday, Chad Feldman.
Is he going to Detroit? It's not far, man.
Birthday trip.
4 hours.
Yeah. I don't know. Are they gonna? Why would you drive 4 hours to see him lose?
Oh, because you plan on them winning, I think, is the answer. And because you can stop at that great barbecue joint and get a Yardbird sandwich, one of the best sandwiches in America.
There's that.
Yeah. There's reasons to go to Detroit.
Also, Kyle Tucker's birthday is today.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday, Kyle Tucker.
Is he really?
Yes.
Wow, that's great. He's got a lot of good things in front of him.
Thank you, Texer. Texer reminded me of that.
Yeah, good. That's great.
See, we pay attention to the text line.
They'll sing happy birthday tonight to him, huh?
They came up with a nice present yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Here's an extra million and a half, kid.
Yeah, well.
Knock yourself out.
Kind of expected that to happen. All right, we've got Dan and Marshall. We'll talk to them next. Can't wait to hear what Dan thinks of Bob Uecker shuffling off this mortal coil. Mully and Haw on the score.